dawned on me just how lucky I am to be part of this family. This family that care for each other and love each other, just as Scripture tells us to. Love one another as I loved you. The words of Jesus himself. I've picked out for this morning's message a title which Jesus himself described himself as: the way, the truth, and the life. The reading I've taken is from 1 John 5, 1 to 15, if you want to look it up in your Bibles. I'm taking from the NIV. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Such a powerful reading. But let's just pray before I come to this morning's message. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you will just take all fear from me and allow me to deliver the word that you've given me. I don't know why you've given it to me, Lord, but I trust, just as the old prophets did of old, they had to say what you give them. And I will say exactly what you give me. Anything that's written down that you don't want me to say, Lord, I pray that you just blow it away like chaff in the wind. But Lord, I'm relying on you to witness this morning, because people need to hear from you, not from me. So just bless me, Lord, I pray. I ask for your guidance through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. We've just shared communion together in remembrance of what Jesus went through to enable us to enjoy fellowship with God the Father, and to be adopted into his family. And not only adopted into his family, but being ensured that we have a future with him we will have eternal life with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us now. As I say, we can enjoy all of that now. We don't have to wait until the end. From a reading from 1 John 5 to 15, I don't believe it could be any clearer that there is only one way to obtain eternal life, and that's through accepting Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. There is no other way. Good works are simply that on their own. They won't get us into heaven. The only way is as Jesus told his disciples in John 14 in his Gospel, verses 5 and 6, when they asked where he was going, and Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Hence my title for this morning's message. Now, it couldn't be any clearer, could it? Why then is it that so many people today seem to miss the point or avoid it and skip around it? Some people actually believe as long as they don't do anything too bad, they're nice to people, they're kind, they don't kick the cat or the dog, you know, they give to charities, then they're not too bad. They might be all right. Well, I'm sorry, but they're just deluding themselves, you know, because that's not enough. The one thing that they forget about our God, they know a bit about the love of thy neighbor. They try to do that. I'll give them that. But they forget that our God is a righteous God. And being a righteous God, he can't accept anything less than the acceptance of his Son being accepted as our own personal Savior. Anything else just will not pass muster. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 to 31, we read, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." It's important that that's the only thing that we can boast in, the Lord, for we can't take any credit at all. It's clear then that only righteousness that we can claim is the covering of Jesus' righteousness. That's why Jesus gave his disciples the instructions that we can read in Acts 1, verses 4 to 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift, the Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." You know, Jesus was well aware of the disciples' weaknesses. You remember when he was at the cross, a lot of them deserted him, they disappeared and didn't come back until after their resurrection. You know, he knew they would find it difficult, impossible to cope in their own strength, that they would need the Holy Spirit, as indeed we do, as our compass, to guide us, as it were. We would be lost on our own. You know, we'd feel a bit like the people in Ukraine at the minute. They're under pressure from forces beyond their control, and they have really no say in it. It won't be until Russia decide to stop that their pain and suffering will end. And that's how we would feel without the Lord in our life, as with this world today. It's important that we remember where our strength is, and when we need it, where to turn to recharge our batteries, as it were. Matthew 7, verse 13 reads, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." You know, I believe that without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that many will miss the narrow gate. And that's why Jesus gave the disciples these instructions. And they apply to us as well, not just to them. As you can read in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, I'm sure you're well aware of it. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." I don't know about you, but I'm reassured by Jesus' promise there to be with me to the very end of the age. So I can rely on his strength all the time. That's unambiguous. Now, it's very important that as Christians we fully commit to the Great Commission and able to make the pathway visible, the pathway to eternal life known to the lost. Otherwise, how are they going to hear about it if we don't tell them? But we must remember that that's our part of the bargain, to inform them, to let them know. The Great Commission is to go to all and let them know. Not to save them. We can't do that. We haven't got that power. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to convict them and to, for them to accept the gift that's offered to them. They need to know the way, the truth, and the life. When I began writing this message, I thought about making it a good old Baptist three-point sermon, as it were. But when I thought about it, and as I was writing it, the truth, the way, and the life, or the way, the truth, and the life, they're intermingled, but they're inseparable. They go together. You can't have one without the other, as the old song used to go. Unfortunately, today, in our churches, this seems to be skirted over. There seems to be a lot of tradition and ceremony, but the truth seems to be massaged, as it were, to suit the current political trends, the correct terms, the PC of society today. To me, that sounds a bit familiar to what the Pharisees were practicing in Jesus' time, as we can read in Matthew 5, 17 to 20. Jesus speaking, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." What strong, strong words. Couldn't be any clearer. Yet there are a lot of ones in our parliament today, in our government, in the churches, and they don't stick to the Word of God. They try to surpass things and make it all nice and easy and simple for everybody to get along. But you know, God is a gracious God and a righteous God, and He will not accept double standards. And that's why it's really important. From the mouth of Jesus, that reading, and to me it couldn't be any clearer. An example from Hebrews 13:4-8. The standards that the Lord expects. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's important, and I think our government and the world really needs to remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His standards will not change. That was a bit of a problem that they had with the Pharisees. They added to the laws what suited them, what met their requirements, what met their political agenda, as it were. It didn't matter that they went against the commandments that God gave to Moses. And you know, when you think about it, God gave the commandments to Moses inscribed on stone tablets. So there couldn't be anything added to them or taken away from them. They were set in stone. We've heard that sentence, I think that we know it's set in stone. And we need to remember that. And I think our politicians and the world in general need to remember that. Our politicians have added and changes to the law to meet their own political agendas without any consideration to the will of God. And again, they will have to stand and answer for all that they do. The saddest thing to me is there has been little or no objections from the established churches to any of those changes which go against all Christian teaching. Is it any wonder then that the world is in such a mess as it is today? It should be remembered and understood by all that on the day of judgment, we are told that everyone will have to stand before the Lord and answer for every action taken against the will of God. Yes, Jesus will have the last say. He will have the last word, as we can read in the last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation 22:16-20, which reads, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll or prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So it's quite evident that nothing will escape the judgment day. You know, and it's something that we need to remember. Yes, Scripture tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but all will have the option. At one time in their life, they'll be convicted of their need of a Savior, and it'll be up to them to accept or reject. You know, but if you don't accept, it's like getting a present. If you just put it in a drawer and don't open it, what joy have you got? What good is having the present? You need to open the present, appreciate it, use it if it's something that you can use, or display it if it's something that you can display. And it's the same with Christ. When you have Christ in your life, you've got to display it. Display Him. Because everybody, tell people about Him. And people know that you're His son or His daughter, and they'll be watching you. And your walk will say more than your testimony, because your walk is your testimony. And people will be looking at you and trying to pick holes in you. And if you look hard enough, you'll find holes in anything, as we know. But we have got the Lord on our side, and relying on Him and staying in constant contact with Him 24/7. He doesn't hold office hours. He is at our disposal, and He loves to hear from His children, just as your mums and dads, my mum and dad, and I, Linda and I, love to hear from our children. You know, it's nice to be part of a family, and it's nice to talk, and that is what we do when we come to the Lord in prayer. It doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be any format. You can just talk to Him as you would talk to your mother, your father, your next door neighbor. And you can do it any time. You can do it when you're driving your car, when you're washing the dishes, or before you go to sleep, or you're having a night where you can't sleep. That's when I spend a lot of time with the Lord. And I think He keeps me awake just to remind me that I need to talk. But you know, He is a loving God. As I say, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And without Him in our lives, we would be lost. Amen. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to be the price of our redemption. And Lord, we thank You that You took it upon Yourself to convict each one of us of our need, and even enabled us by softening our hearts to accept Him into our lives. Lord, we just pray that You will keep Your promise as You always do. All Your promises are yes and amen. And You promise to guide us and to perfect us and to bring us eventually into the likeness of Your Son. And Lord, we give You permission to carry out that work in our lives. Discipline us as we need. Correct us as we need. Because You love us so much. And Lord, we just want to say thank You for all You do for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I think maybe the Lord wanted that at the end to finish off his message, because I didn't do it by clever thinking. Amen.